Good afternoon, and welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee of General Government. Today is February 7th, 2018, and today we have a nice lineup. We have work sessions and informational hearing, and we're going to do things a little abruptly because right now we have a series of members that are providing testimony. So members will be leaving, popping in and out, but the intent is to get through all of the work sessions. So with that in mind, LFO, what do we need to know before we get started?
Mr. Chair, you have a couple items from the Department of Administrative Services. One is the required compensation plan report that needs a work session because it has to go to the full committee. And the other one's an informational hearing on a survey that the department is conducting of all state employees.
Okay. So,
open the meeting. You can do that if you want.
Okay. So, first thing we're going to do is that we're going to open up a work session on the Department of Administrative Services Compensation Plan Report. And Director, Madam Director.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Katie Koba, Director of the Department of Administrative Services and Chief Operating Officer. We are here to give you our final report on state compensation plan changes as a result of bargaining over the course of the past year. So as you see in front of you, you've got a number of minor union agreements, and this represents about 7.5% of state employees, and it does bring us now to 100% of all of our bargained agreements with union employees for the state. So this will be the last comp plan report that you will get for this current biennium. As you remember from previous reports, our goal this during this biennium was to stay within the $100 million general fund that was appropriated by the legislature for total general fund costs, and we have done that, which is the good news. In your analysis from LFO staff at the bottom of page one are the estimates for the total cost for the 17-19 biennium of all of the comp plan changes. And so you can see the total cost, total funds at a little over $236 million, $99.5 million general fund, almost $7 million of lottery funds, $90 million plus of other funds, and $42.8 million of federal funds. So with that, Mr. Chair, in order to keep you guys on track, unless there are questions, this is the final report. We've now got 100% of the employees covered, and we're within our $100 million target goal for the general fund costs.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. LFO.
Legislative Fiscal Office recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Okay.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would move approval of the recommendation.
It has been recommended by LFO to acknowledge receipt of the report, and there is a motion to by Representative Gomberg to acknowledge receipt of the report and move it forward to the full committee. Are there any discussions? Any objections? We need a carry of the bill. Chair carry the bill.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
You did the last one.
I did the last one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to close that work session, and we're going to open up an information hearing from the Department of Administrative Services Pay and Equity Survey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, again, Katie Koba with DAS, and joining me is Madeline Zeich, the Chief Human Resources Officer. We're here to give you an informational update on the state's Pay Equity Project, and this is a project that has come out of the pay equity legislation that was passed during the 2017 legislative session, House Bill 2005. As a result of that legislation, the state started its pay equity project last summer, and the purpose of the project is to align our policies and processes with the new legislation, conduct an equal pay analysis of the state's workforce, and recommend any corrective actions to state leadership. I'll talk in a minute about where we're at in the phase of the project, but once the project has collected and analyzed the data that we're looking for, then we'll have a better idea of what the cost implications are for state agencies as a result of this legislation. Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Maybe you're going to comment on this later, Ms. Koba, but what's your sample survey look like, your survey sample look like, and what will you consider responsive for statistical purposes?
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, we will be going over that in just a minute. And if we don't answer your questions, please let me know. So what have we done to date? So far, as of last October, we have removed the salary field from the state's online application system. So anyone that's applying to a job in state government, we no longer ask what they currently make or their salary background, and that information cannot be used to determine what pay they will get as a state employee. That's not the case for current state employees moving into new jobs in state government. We still use their salary background, but new people coming into the state, that is no longer a factor in determining their salary. What we're in the middle of now is gathering information from state employees, and we made the decision as a state to gather information from all state employees that fall under our purview, because we do not currently have a way of capturing experience, education, training, all of those factors that go into determining pay for employees. So we are in the midst of a survey to all 35,000 state employees.
Wow.
It's never been done before that I'm aware of in state government. And we are hoping to get an above 95% response rate.
Wow.
Getting this information is really critical for the analysis that we need to do. I think the good news is the survey we're halfway through. It opened a couple of weeks ago, and we have, as of yesterday when we compiled the statistics, a 50% response rate, which is pretty amazing, I think, particularly given human nature to wait until the surveys to close and do it the day before, right? Close date is February 28th. We've done a lot of outreach to state employees through various means, directors, HR advisors, you name it. And so we're very, very hopeful that that we'll be able to get the response rate that we feel we need.
Mr. Chair, I don't know, Ms. Koba, if you consider the survey instrument proprietary, but could you make it available to the professional staff and have him share it with the committee?
Yeah,
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, absolutely. It's not proprietary. Before we even launched it, we sent it out to people, mostly agency directors, to ask them to take it and give us feedback, what we could do to simplify it. So I think you would find it interesting. We estimated that to complete the survey, it would take over an hour. Mm-hmm. The analysis that we've done is average completion time right now is about 90 minutes. 90 minutes, right? So we're plus or minus close, and we are asking that all employees be allowed to do this on state time. One of the challenges is for those employees that don't have access to a computer, figuring out a way to make sure they get access to a computer. It's a big undertaking.
Mr. Chair, have you calculated the cost and loss of productivity?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Johnson, no, we have not.
Okay.
The next step is to then take all this data that we're gathering, and we have called on our sister agencies to loan us staff. We will need to bring in staff to do an analysis of all the survey data that we collect. The other thing that's good news, I think, with the new Workday system, the new human resources information system that's coming online this summer, this information that we collect from employees will be loaded into their profile on the new Workday system. So it's not like you take the survey once and the information is gone. This information will stay with them as long as they're in state government and can be used as we need to do further analysis or for whatever purpose they may want to use it. So data analysis will occur over the course of the summer. I think by this fall, we should have a better sense of just where the state is in terms of pay equity. And it's at that point in time that we would be able to come back to you and give you information on what we think in terms of pay changes that need to take place. to truly implement pay equity at the state level. I think given depending on what that number is, will drive then how we proceed with fully implementing pay equity in the state, whether it's a phased-in approach, how agencies can deal with the cost of doing that. So with that, I just want to turn to Madeline real quick to see if you might introduce yourself to see if you have anything to add or did I miss anything?
Certainly. Co-Chair Manning, members of the committee, I'm Madeline Zeich, the state's chief human resources officer. I think Director Koba captured it pretty accurately. I do want to reiterate it is a big lift for us to get this work done, but I also think that agencies have been really supportive in working with us on strategies to get this information out to people for them to collect the information. We've done a lot of work with our ELT, our enterprise leadership team, so agency directors, to talk about the best approach in their agencies, but these really were activities and it was information that we just didn't have to comply with the law that was passed.
Any questions? Senator Johnson?
And not a question. I'm just pondering 35,000 hours of lost productivity. I would just be curious to know what that is monetized. That's all.
Question. Rep. Marsh?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Well, I guess if we see the survey, we'll know the answer to this. But I'm just wondering if you had the capacity within the survey to do any questions around job satisfaction or priorities of workers. We have this ongoing conversation that we started last year about the issues around keeping and recruiting employees at a time when we have so many employees who are near retirement age. So were you able to get into that kind of territory at all with any of these?
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Marsh, I took the survey a couple of weeks ago, so I'm trying to remember. I don't believe there are any questions around job satisfaction. It really was, you know, your employment history, any education, or not any education, education that you've had, trainings that you've had that are pertinent to your position, but nothing around job satisfaction.
So, follow up?
Follow up.
Thank you. So perhaps after you get surveys under your belt and get this one all done and processed, maybe we can start, go back to that, because we do need to start really being able to analyze the workforce and understand what the motivating issues are and what kind of, you know, extending to what kind of benefits we provide to people in the future.
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Marsh, I can share with you that the governor's office has obviously been very interested in this topic as well, and we have put out a request for information about contracting with someone that might be able to come in and do an analysis for us.
Great.
And it's titled the 21st Century Workforce, and it's really around that job satisfaction piece. What brought you to state government? You know, what kind of benefits are important to you? All of those kinds of things. So we have that RFP out on the street waiting for it to come back, and we'll determine next steps and moving forward. So there is a strategy to try to get at some of that information.
Super. Thank you.
Anything? All right. There's nothing else. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Close that information hearing down. I'm going to I have to run and do testimony. So I'm going to pass the gavel over to Senator Johnson, who will take over in my stead. And I also want to make, for the record, notify everyone that Co-Chair Smith is excused for today, and I shall return shortly.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Borden, welcome. Madam, would you introduce us to the next issue?
Madam Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, that you have an informational hearing before you for the Department of Revenue, a position reconciliation budget request. Again, this is informational only. This is a continuation of Monday's discussion of their budget reports on positions and human resource management. The conversation may seem a little bit out of sequence. So on Monday, you've had the background. This is just the budget request, and then we'll return to the two work sessions on the individual reports. So thank you, Madam
Chair. Thank you very much. With that, I will invite up Director Ray and Mr. Upadhyay and await your presentation.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Chair Johnson, members of the committee, I'm Nia Ray, Director of the Oregon Department of Revenue.
And I'm Satish Upadhyay, Deputy Director, Oregon Department of Revenue.
As Mr. Borden suggested, the purpose of today's presentation is to provide our personnel reconciliation budget request for the remainder of the biennium. The request is an outgrowth of the personnel management report the DOR presented on Monday. The budget note required that the DOR take immediate steps to remedy any misalignment identified in the personnel review. This is an attempt to do just that. Before we move into the substance of the request, however, I request a bit of grace from the committee to revisit one of the slides that we posted on Monday. There were some concerns about that slide that it was confusing and maybe a bit clever, so we wanted to clarify it and ensure that our motives were clear and pure. Here is a breakdown of our vacancies, both by classification type and by business area, to give you a clear indication of where the vacancies remain and the general impact those vacancies would have on the area based on the percentage of authorized position. So if there are any questions, I am certainly here to answer those. Otherwise,
well, I certainly appreciate the additional detail. And if you'll give it us just a moment to contemplate this, any comments you'd like to make about
sure,
it?
Sure. There aren't many comments. We'll move to the next slide. It may be a little bit more beneficial for the committee to see the vacancy by general classification type. I know that there are typically questions and interest about tax auditors, revenue agents, our collectors, our auditors. And as you can see, there are vacancies there, but the percentage of vacancies as compared to the authorized positions is not extensive. There will always be vacancies in an agency the size of the Department of Revenue. The goal is to keep that vacancy level at an appropriate and manageable level. So the goal in presenting this information both yesterday and today was to show that we have made progress.
A question I would have is that not much time passes between our conversations with you and my conversations with colleagues and proposed legislation in this session that continues to heap work on the department. I had a little visit with the governor's office the other day about one of their PERS unfunded actuarial liability bills. And again, it says in the opening line of the bill, directs Department of Revenue to establish program. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know whether or not your vacancies display has any correlation to the current spate of bills, and I know they're not law, they're just under discussion right now, but the propensity to ask the DOR to do more and more and more. You're a struggling agency right now, you're trying to fill these positions, you're dealing with new systems, and you've got auditors all over you, you've got budget notes all over you. I'm just wondering, where does the popping point come with the agency? And does this display contemplate all of the new potential requests for new work scope within your agency?
Yes, Chair Johnson, members of committee. With respect to standing up additional programs, additional responsibilities, this would not encompass or anticipate many of those asks. The purpose of the ask today is to reset the foundation so that, you know, when those types of obligations do become required, that we have the foundation set to even understand what we need and give you the type of information that you require to consider any future requests. We were starting from a negative position, before we made this request, and hopefully you will restore us to a basic foundational level with this request. However, as you know, programs are created and required, we will have additional asks. We will have POPs for you in 2019 as we address gen tax adjusted workloads, as additional programs are required of the department, as additional obligations become apparent.
Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Acting Co-Chair Johnson. And good afternoon, Director Ray. First of all, I want to say I appreciate these new reports, which are a little easier to follow. I think yesterday we were showing currently about 40 vacancies, but there was some uncertainty about some of the definitions there. And what we're seeing now is actually there are 85 vacancies. And I take that to go to the question that I asked is, how many empty desks, how many bodies are we missing for the work that we've got to do? So I appreciate this, but it leads me back to a question that I asked several months ago. We have 85 positions that are vacant, but were funded. So what happens to the money that we put up for those positions if they're not being spent on compensation?
Madam Co-Chair, Representative Gomberg, a number of those positions are the funding is being used for other position actions. An example, in property tax, we have 21 positions that are like just 0.88 FTE funded. So you know, those have to be funded. And also there are other position actions we use. We have double fills, we have job rotations, so we are using those funding for that. So the ask that you see before us today is going to remedy that situation to a certain extent.
Follow up.
I appreciate that answer, and I'm going to ask Mr. Borden the same question and see if his answer is the same.
Mr. Co-Chair, Madam Co-Chair, or members of the subcommittee, they are essentially, the way Oregon budgets, they're essentially a pool of funds available for the agency, and so a pool of funding available for non-position actions. So the intent that came out of the 17 session and these subsequent intents is to get the agency within a normal bound of vacancies. In other words, eliminating that fluff so that we have more true budgeting. So that if they need position actions, they need to come to the legislature or administratively finance them. So, but right now, the agency has a significant number of position actions that are not budgeted, and these vacancies are being used to pay for those actions. Work out of class, double fill positions, and so on and so forth. Is that enough clarification?
Well, yes, and I appreciate, I did not mean to sound overly skeptical when I asked if your question would be the same. But what I hear you saying to us is that we as a budgeting committee allocate dollars for a certain purpose. They're used for a different purpose. It may be a legitimate purpose, but not one that we budgeted for. And so I'm trying to figure out what my job is here in responding to requests and recommendations when the money goes somewhere else.
Madam Co-Chair, and the whole one of the whole impetuses of these budget notes and the vacancy reductions within the agency is to true up that particular aspect of the budget. What the legislature approves, the agency is executing off of, and that this significant amount of budget flexibility that the agency has historically had to set different priorities is significantly diminished. So you get that more of that one-for-one relationship, and the agency doesn't have a pool of excess funds to set its own priorities, if that's helpful.
Well, that is helpful, Madam Chair, just one final question, and this is not directed toward the Department of Revenue, but again, helping to educate us as the budget writers. We allocate money for positions in any agency. The positions are unfilled, but the money still flows. Do we have a mechanism by which we approve funding, but the funding, the check isn't actually written until the position is filled?
Madam Co-Chair and Representative, in the budget process, the position and the funding go together. There is an administrative mechanism where for certain agencies, most executive branch agencies, the legislature could unschedule those funds until certain criteria were met or are met, but the granularity of that you know, budgeting down to certain position levels is more difficult. It's problematic. So
I see one more follow-up.
Well, I just submit that it's also problematic when we allocate dollars and they're spent for purposes other than the specifics for which they were requested and approved.
Well, Ms. Madam Kutcher, Representative, vacancies have historically undergone a significant review by the legislature, and agencies are under increased reporting requirements for these vacancies. So as part of the normal legislative review process, the long-term vacancies, those vacant for more than 6 months, are generally culled unless there's an extremely good reason to keep them. And LFO, it's constantly, CFO's office is constantly looking at these vacancies, pressuring agencies to either fill them or be prepared to have them released, you know, defunded or removed. So there is that particular effort, too.
Thank you very much.
Chair Manning, members of the committee, Representative Gomberg, I hear your concerns, and the goal of our communication for the past 2 days has really been to try to address some of those concerns, at least on behalf of the Department of Revenue. We heard the message loud and clear last session that a greater level of accountability was required, and there are still vacancies, there are still job rotations, there are still double fills. Our goal is to reduce those to a manageable level. You know, realistically, there are certain management tools that we use to get from the time that we have this conversation to the next time that we have this conversation. We have to manage our business. And so sometimes, you know, we do have tools like the ones that we're discussing today to sort of manage those processes. They should not, however, exceed a healthy level. And so that's our goal.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, if I could just respond very quickly. I purposely framed my question not aimed at your department in particular, but rather at the larger question. And I do appreciate you the information that you're providing today and your responsiveness to our concerns.
All right. With that, Satish?
So, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, good afternoon. I'm Satish Upadhyay, Deputy Director, Oregon Department of Revenue, here before you to make a request of a general fund allocation of $1,749,236 and an increase in other funds expenditure authority of $96,157 and establishment of 43 positions, which is 11.31 FTE for the Department of Revenue. Now, out of these 43 positions, 33 positions are seasonal positions to be filled only during tax season. And this request also includes the reclassification of 54 positions. And basically, the purpose of the reclassification is to follow up on the earlier conversation to do things, correct things that's out there. So as mentioned by Director Ray, the purpose of this request is to address recommendations from the two reviews and remedy position misalignment, and as well as to respond to our current work environment emerging issues. So what I'll do now next is I will go through this request in more depth.
Johnson.
Thank you. Mr. Upadhyay, while you're getting your next slides teed up, you said that some of these are seasonal. And given testimony that we've heard in other committees, and I'm saying we generally as the legislature, about the paucity of available workforce, the paucity of trained workforce, are you prepared to accept these positions and put them through some kind of boot camp training so they're not just warm bodies, but they're able to fulfill the job requirements? The work that you do is skilled work. And to get them up to speed and acculturated to working, some of them may be new to state employment, to get them acculturated and trained so that they can do the kind of good job that we all are expecting. Talk to us about, for lack of a better word, onboarding new employees.
Sure. Senator Johnson. Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I remember your comment earlier at JELAC where you said that DOR can do huge collateral damage if we don't process returns correctly, and we are mindful of that. And DOR has a history of bringing in people and providing training. So that's our intent, is to try and provide training, because these people deal with people's taxes.
And if I may, Chair Manning, members of the committee, Senator Johnson, many of our seasonal employees are returning from prior years. We have retirees, individuals that do this annually for us. So there is not, I don't know what the percentage is offhand, but I would say 50% at least of our seasonal employees are returning employees, which sort of cuts down, I think, for us, some of, I won't say need to train, but we do have others within that population that can offer support to the new trainees as well.
Mr. Chair, one last kind of silly question, but it's a target of opportunity given that you have the head of DAS and the HR folks behind you. Is there a process to streamline those returning employees that makes it easy and efficacious for them to come immediately back into the workforce, or do we treat them as though they are completely new to us? And the point I'm making is that if I've been a seasonal employee during tax time for the Department of Revenue, and I like that, it's a chance to come in, work hard, make money, and go away. Do we make it easy for those returning folks to just have the email go out and say it's time to re-up, and they come right back? We know all about them.
Chair Manning, Senator Johnson, I want to make sure I understand your question. Are we considering the seasonal employees for full-time employment?
No.
Or just
no.
For seasonal employment?
No, I think that the HR folks behind you got the question that I'm asking, and if you don't mind, I'll just cut to the chase. Regrettably, I think from the head shakes, the answer is no, and that makes me sad.
Co-Chair Manning, Senator Johnson, members of the committee, Madeline Zykes, Chief Human Resources Officer. That's really up to each agency. However, I think I may have some good news for you. I think of forestry. I'm more familiar with forestry than I am with the process at revenue. And I believe that they do have a process where they say, okay, time to come back on board. And I think they have a streamlined process for bringing those people in. I can certainly check on that because I want to make sure I'm accurate, because I don't know what revenue does that would be handled at the agency. But we do allow for some of that, you know, re-employment of seasonal workers. They don't have to go through the state application process and go through a lot of those things that others do. I just don't know how revenue is using it.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, that was the same situation at agriculture. We have a lot of seasonals that come back year and year. I think brand inspectors, fruit and vegetable inspectors, those kinds of things. And it was a pretty streamlined process to get them back.
One more comment. Madam Chair and Chief Operating Officer, apropos our conversations over the last 72 hours about the leadership role that DAS should and could play, this strikes me as low-hanging fruit. If you are a known commodity to state government, you have served well and faithfully, you like these kind of jobs, we ought to make it as easy as possible to come back.
And Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Johnson, I think what Madeline and I are both saying is right now we don't know what agencies are doing, but we'll go back and check and make sure that we are making it as easy as possible.
And mine is a clarion call for streamlining, efficiency, cost savings, and DAS leadership on this issue.
Not a problem.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Chair Manning, members of the committee, Senator Johnson, I now understand the question, because Director Koba and Madeline are such great leaders. I needed their leadership to fully understand the question.
I may have been inartful in posing it.
No. I appreciate that. But we do have a process at DOR that certainly streamlines the process for returning employees. I will certainly get to you the mechanics of that. But in short, it's a matter of calling those individuals to ensure that they're still interested. If they are, we have all of their information, they come back, they're processed. It is very different from a new employee, new seasonal
thank
employee.
You.
So, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, getting back to the request. So we have, the first part is, as you are aware, under the direction of the Department of Administrative Services Chief Financial Office, the Department of Revenue underwent a comprehensive review of its financial and budget structures and processes. So based on this review, CFO, recommended the establishment of two new positions, an accountant two and an accounting technician three position. So DAS CFO also recommended the reclassification of two positions, the department's chief financial officer, administrative services division administrator position from a program executive manager F to a G, and a fiscal analyst 2 to a fiscal analyst 3. Again, the intent here is to strengthen the department's budget, finance, and accounting shops. So any questions on this one? Other than I move to the next one. So the next one is relates to labor contracts. So we are requesting the reclassification of 20 positions based on determinations made under classification reviews initiated by staff under our labor law. So this includes, basically there were grievances filed, and we have to respond to that. And so this includes reclassification of 4 program analyst 2 positions to operations and program analyst 3 in the property tax division, reclassification of 6 office analyst 2 to data entry operators, and 10 office specialists 1 to 2 in the processing center. And as you can see, the fiscal impact is negative. That's because we currently have 2 positions vacant, and so we are budgeting these positions at second step, and in fixed it's at a higher step right now. So you can see there's overall this cost savings in there. Any questions on this? Otherwise, the next ones. These are review. We are requesting reclassification of 7 positions for which the agency has already submitted permanent financing plans. So for these positions, we submit these to DAS, and we also have to already identify resources. So we are bringing those here too. And this includes reclassifying the department's human resource manager position from a PME to a PEMF, reclassifying the department's chief information officer position from a PEMF to a G, a human resources analyst 1 to a operations and policy analyst 3, a government auditor 3 to a operations and policy analyst 3, electronic publishing design specialist 3 to a policy and operations analyst 2, and there are 2 other administrative positions. So next is new reclassifications. So we are requesting the establishment of 9 positions and reclassifications of 25 positions. So the new positions are in the personal tax and compliance division. We are requesting the establishment of a PEM manager A position. This is to address span of control issues and the diversity of workload issues. So we, at this point, we just have one manager managing 21 staff, and we feel we need another manager there. In the director's office, we are requesting the establishment of an operations and policy analyst 3 position to serve as the agency's rules coordinator. This is especially important because of changes in the federal tax laws. And in the processing center, we are requesting an operations and policy analyst 2 and operations and policy analyst 3. These positions will work on the agency's paper return processing systems and banking remittance system. In the finance section, we are requesting an additional procurement and contract specialist 1 to handle due to workload issues. In the communication system, in the communications program, public affairs specialist 2 to focus on customer service and voluntary compliance. And in the finance section, 3 administrative positions in the miscellaneous cash unit to handle cash. So these are the new positions. Now, also the big ask also is we are asking the reclassification of 25 positions. 16 out of these 25 positions are related to Gentax. And I think it's also mentioned in LFO's analysis that because of Gentax, we are discovering that we need staff with different skill set.
I just can't avoid making this comment. I sat in this committee when we debated Gentax. It was supposed to be the salvation of the agency, and I hold neither you, Ms. Ray, nor Mr. Upadhyay responsible for this. But how we couldn't have figured out somewhere along the line that we were going to need all these additional people when this wonder project was scoped. So far, it has been a giant disappointment. And again, you guys were not here. But there were pieces of it that were missing that I think some of us expected were going to happen. It was going to... streamline processing. Now we're adding additional positions. Maybe Mr. Borden would comment and correct my memory if it is incorrect, Mr. Borden, but this is another Gentex surprise.
Madam Co-Chair, on Monday you will hear a specific report that was one of the budget notes on the core system replacement, so maybe I would generally defer to that date. But I think there are a handful of unanswered questions related to that project, and I think your line of thinking is on track and consistent with what we're thinking. So
I'll be happy to wait, and regrettably, I have to join my colleague in testifying.
Thanks.
I'll be right back.
I'm glad I'm here.
So moving along, Mr. Acting Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, we are now into the seasonal positions. So we are requesting 33 new seasonal positions. Six of these are in the tax service unit, and this is to help answer personal income tax phone calls and to serve, provide good customer service to taxpayers. We had a pilot project in 2017, which we funded with vacancy savings. It worked really well. So this time we are requesting permanent funding. Next, we are requesting 13 office specialist 2 positions in the miscellaneous cash unit for 2.5 months each year. So state agencies are requested to turn over collected funds to the state treasurer within one business day. At DOR, it's taking us 3 days because we don't have dedicated staff. So this will enable us to follow that procedure and deposit all the collected funds that very day. Next, we have 10 office specialist 2s position requests in the taxpayer identification unit. This is to help taxpayers complete processing of their tax returns. And the last one is 4 office specialist 1 positions in the mail operating unit to process incoming mail. We get 2.3 million pieces of mail each year, and more than half of it is received by the end of April, and we feel a need for additional positions for that. Any questions on this?
Any questions? Keep going.
So, last but not the least, we are requesting funding to restore the 21 partially funded appraiser analyst positions to full-time positions. And these are currently funded at 0.88 FTE. So with that, in closing, approval of this request will enable DOR to implement the recommendations of the 2 reviews and also enable to take care of the current emerging issues. It will enable us to clean up our agency budget requests for 2021.
Right.
So when we come up with our next agency request budget, it'll be more cleaned up than it is right now. It will also reduce our current job rotations with work out of class by 35 positions. Right now, there are 62 positions, so it'll go down by 35. And it'll also reduce our current double fills by 5 positions from the current 21. Lastly, it'll enable us to manage our vacancies within normal range. So with that, we'd be glad to answer any questions.
Anybody have questions? I just have some comments. I mean, we sit here and see all this information, which probably makes very little sense to any of us, especially classification changes. We don't know if that's up or down or what's going on. I assume that, Director, that these are recommendations coming from you, what you need to fulfill your job.
Chair, members of the committee, you are correct. We, as you've heard and you've witnessed, we have found ourselves at a bit of a deficit with our vacancy load and some of the decisions we've made that were in good faith, but unfortunately have made this request necessary. And so we're very pleased to have reconciled that need and to present this request today.
And Mr. Co-Chair, if I may add, we have sat with both LFO and CFO and gone through all of the position requests. So we didn't want to take the committee's time on going through all the 54 reclassifications and the position access, so we have sat and gone through all of these requests individually.
Good. And this is an informational hearing, so I can close the informational hearing?
Question.
Yes. Oh, question. Excuse me. Let's not close it yet.
Thank you.
Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Chair. Do you track on a regular basis job retirements and vacancies? I know DAS tracks those on a large scale, but do you track them within revenue?
Chair, Representative Marsh, we track them. I think what we found was that the tracking system that we had was minimal. And so part of the recommendations and the report that you heard on Monday suggested that we increase that level of tracking with respect to all of our personnel actions. We are in the process of establishing a more robust tracking system of our personnel personal actions and how we manage.
Yeah, it just seems like it's so much work to fill all of these vacancies, mm-hmm. and the overhead costs that were referred to earlier by Senator Johnson. That, and we need to know what's going on with the workforce. So,
yes, understood.
Thank you. Any other comments? So I'll close the informational hearing. We have two other items that are scheduled for work session, but I'll open them under an informational. Reports and LFO.
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, I think what would be best is you've heard these two reports. We'll do them individually, but we'll do the first one first on personnel management practices, go through the LFO recommendation, and then when quorum is established, they would go to a normal work session. So this is the this personal management practices. There's the LFO analysis is out there, as well as the other agency information. And LFO would just take a minute to note for the record that, you know, the 2017 legislature began this effort by reducing about 86 positions and $13 million worth of position authority. And the goal there was to help restore budgetary discipline to the agency. So this request and these efforts to reduce vacant position, double fills, and work out of class, which the agency is making progress on, is again a continuation of that effort to return them to a more of an even plane. There's several things to note for the record that this vacancy report excludes two key recommendations from the January interim Ways and Means. One was the transportation package, which will add about another 43 positions to the agency, and another is the centralization of collection services, which will add about another 11 positions. So, you know, there are expectations with both those important measures that the agency will not hold those positions vacant, but immediately begin acting on filling those positions. The review that the agency undertook was in two parts. The first part was essentially a review by the Human Resources Offices of DAS and the agency to review policies and procedures. They noticed it seemed like a significant number of policies that were out of alignment between the agency and the statewide practices and policies. And so the understanding is that DOR has adopted now the statewide practices. So they're now in policy conformity with the Department of Administrative Services policy. The second part of the review, which is what you heard about, was more from the budget perspective. What are the classifications of the positions and how to eliminate the double fills and so on and so forth? That was more of an internal effort undertaken by the agency. It's noteworthy that that there's literally decades of poor practice here that is trying to be remedied, and this is the initial step. It may not completely resolve everything, but it's an important first step. One item about this particular request, as Deputy Director Apatier noted, is that it's being currently reviewed, the budget request. Likely not everything will be approved in that request. We're kind of going through it line item by line item. But if that whole request were approved, the roll-up cost is significant. It's about $5 million total funds. So the request right now as it sits for this biennium is approximately $1.8 million. Its roll-up costs are significant. There's an issue here, though, there are several issues here that are important that LFO would note. The first is that operationally, the agency's budget needs to be cleaned up so that they know how they're doing on the execution of their budget. Because right now it's a little bit of a question with all these extra extraordinary position actions that are not budgeted. Are they on budget? And so it's important to get these cleaned up so that we can make that, we can ascertain whether that's accurate or not. The second is that there's a critical deadline coming up this spring, and that is for the development of next biennium's budget. So budgets need to be cleaned up generally in the April timeframe because those budgets become the base budget for the next biennium. So it's a critical timeline that we're pushing for so that when the agency's budgets and their base roll to next biennium, we'll get a more accurate beginning budget next for the next biennium as the starting point for budget discussions. So there's a clear impetus now to try to get that get these positions reconciled before that time frame so that we have a clean roll into the next biennium. DOR should start now relying upon more of an administrative process, which what agencies normally do to begin reconciling other budget position-related issues that come up. So agencies go through a department administrative review of those, and they should now begin doing that after we get out of session. What we have, though, with the department is a clear change in culture from using vacant position funding for other priorities than those established by the legislature. And so if that cultural change doesn't occur within the agency, we're going to see some significant budget issues arise. So it's incumbent upon the agency to really take these issues to heart and get these positions properly reconciled. With that, a reasonable legislative expectation for next biennium is that the positions will be properly classified in the budgeting and personnel systems. They'll be properly assigned to the correct programs. They'll be appropriately funded by revenue source and fund type. They'll be correctly budgeted in the state system, and they'll be appropriately expensed in the state system. Very reasonable expectations, but the agency's not there yet. It's going to take a very concerted effort between now and the beginning of next biennium for this to happen. At that point, any vacancies, of course, will be reevaluated that exist and the duration of those vacancies. LFO would like to note one thing is that the agency has been extremely good to work with and has positively embraced these efforts and is making good progress, which is foundational to all of this. So if we'd go into work session, Mr. Co-Chair, I'd give you the LFO recommendation. So we're right now in an informational hearing. Thank you, Mr. Okay. Co-Chair.
We're going to close out the informational hearing of Department of Revenue position and reconciliation budget request.
Actually, Mr. Co-Chair,
We're here.
Pardon me.
You showed me that, didn't you?
In both of them.
Okay. We're in a work session right now with Department of Revenue. We're doing both of these, right?
Just the first one, Mr. Co-Chair.
Okay, personnel practice review report, LFO.
Mr. Co-Chair, and just as a reminder, there'll be no CFO recommendation, but LFO recommends acknowledging receipt of the report. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move that we accept the LFO recommendation to acknowledge receipt of the report.
It has been moved to by Representative Gomber to accept the LFO recommendation to receive the report. Are there any questions? No questions? Motion carries, and chair will be the carry. The next closed work session on that one, and open up work session on Department of Revenue Accounting and Budget Review Report. LFO.
Mr. Co-Chair and member of the subcommittee, LFO would like to preface its remarks by saying that the Chief Financial Officer is in the room, and of course the Director of the Department of Administrative Services. They assembled a financial review team made of Lauren Henderson, Sean Jacobson, Travis Labrum, and April McDonald, and these were agency experts external to the Department of Revenue that went in and did a thorough evaluation of the agency, and I think our collective thanks to those folks who devoted a significant amount of time to undertaking that review is due. You'll hear throughout the LFO recommendation that there are other financial management reviews going on. The Secretary of State will have some reviews or have some audits going on. There is an external audit that the legislature funded. So this is all in an effort not to duplicate not to have duplicative work done, but kind of to triangulate the situation. So these various audits should be building off of each other. And the comprehensive external audit that the legislature funded should be complete later this fall and reported on during the 19th legislative session. So that's just a preface. DOR again has been very cooperative and begun being proactive in dealing with the financial management issues that are systemic within the agency. They've undertaken hiring of key positions. They are struggling with some of these financial management positions that have become vacant and that they're working to fill. There are definitely resource needs by the agency that they've mentioned. The resource needs are some reclassifications, some new accounting positions, new accountant 2 and accounting tech 3. And then there are some other positions that are needed, requests that you have not heard yet, but on a limited duration basis, just to get things stabilized through the rest of the biennium so that, again, they have a solid budget to begin with for next biennium. So they have a request for some limited duration positions that we are working with the agency on to identify funding for. With that said, again, as just a note to the subcommittee, there could be budget execution or financial management issues that arise between now and the end of the biennium, and the agency will have to closely monitor its activities. The LFO analysis notes that a reasonable legislative expectation for the 2019-21 biennium is that the financial management review, again, that was done with these state agency staff, those findings will be complete and taken care of. The external financial audit findings will need to be addressed, as well as any Secretary of State audit findings, that we get better alignment between the agency's operations and state budget and accounting systems, that the agency transition to the use of the state's payroll system, and a key finding or a key expectation is that to forestall future issues arising, that the agency's internal audit function really become more focused on some of these issues that have that are coming to light to the subcommittee. Agency is making great progress on these issues. They need some additional resources and have positively embraced the fact that the systemic issues need to be addressed. LFO would recommend acknowledging receipt of the report, Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Umberg.
Well, thank you. I would move approval of the recommendation to acknowledge receipt of the report.
Representative Umberg, move to approve receipt of the report. Representative Morris, do you have a question?
I did have a question, but I realize it's a sort of almost existential kind of question that we may not want to discuss here. But I think when you referred a few minutes ago to decades of poor practice, I mean, that should get all of our attention, right? We have a very large state bureaucracy that has been in some level of crisis for a long, long time. So the question to us is obviously, what are the checks and balances that we have to have in place? What are we going to do differently, or are we doing differently, so that we don't create a situation in which something goes untended for decades and decades, costing, no doubt, millions of dollars.
LFO.
Mr. Co-Chair, you have one tool in the toolbox, and that is your budget authority. So the budget authority is trying to reduce the flexibility that the agency has had for those decades down to a manageable level and make sure that any new resource requirements like the transportation package, marijuana program are, you know, discreetly identified and tracked, and then after that it's more of an oversight process. How are their vacancy factors? Have they returned to normal? How is their budget execution going? Are they able to execute these programs appropriately? You know, do they have sufficient staffing? Do they have the right classification? So on and so forth. I hope that sufficiently answers your question, but it's time will tell.
Further discussion? Senator Johnson.
Just by way of a little institutional history, one of the dilemmas that's always faced the legislature is this is the agency that collects our revenue that allows us to do everything else. And so I think there's some call for rigor on our part to do the kinds of things that Mr. Borden suggested, rather than just saying we can't upset the apple cart. They're too necessary to our receipt of revenue.
Right.
Further discussion? Any opposition? Motion carries. Chair will be the carrier. With that, there is LFO. Any further business?
No, Mr. Co-Chair, just as a heads up, Monday you will hear several reports on the information technology aspects of the agency, the core system replacement project, and the processing center modernization project, two critical projects. And then the last report you will hear is on the agency's delivery of taxpayer assistance. So Monday will, if the subcommittee is on schedule, on track, that will be the last day of the agency's presentation for this session. Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Apropos the coming presentation, one of the issues that came up in the audit committee, and Satish, I think, was listening, was the question of when the audits are performed and they're looking at sort of how's business continuity, how's business services going, that they were looking at customer service along the lines of collect, the ability to collect, analyze, and report data. And the question was posed, what does the agency do then under the heading of customer service to close the loop with Oregonians who maybe have been aggrieved? The agency has made some mistakes in processing. Taxpayers are disadvantaged because their credit could be affected, all sorts of financial ramifications could fall out from a dispute with the Department of Revenue. And the question was raised, what does the department do under the heading of customer service to try to set it right by the Oregonian, where there has been an error on the part of the agency, so that the Oregonian has a piece of paper to take to their credit, their mortgage lender or to their bank? And that's an unanswerable today, but it, I think when we were talking about an audit at the DOR that would talk about a cultural audit, how do things look at the top, that maybe relationships with Oregonians, not just internally facing, but externally facing, there might be a role for that too, to help kind of reinforce Oregonians' belief that the agency is not punitive or retaliatory with them. And maybe that's a hill too far. I don't know. If it is, you guys can tell me next week. You can think about it. And
Senator DeBoer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I may not be able to be here next Wednesday, and I don't know what our schedule is for meetings, but for those of us that live a long ways away, it would be helpful if we kind of knew schedules as best as you can. I know they will change.
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee and Senator DeBoer, Wednesday will be, the schedule is still being finalized. It should be finalized tomorrow as a Secretary of State Governor's type day if there are issues for, to be heard. That is what that day will be.
Is that the 15th?
It's the 14th, actually.
14th.
And so we may or may not have a meeting.
There right now is a meeting scheduled. We're just trying to finalize the agenda items for that meeting.
Good.
So
well,
we will let you know as early as possible.
I don't know if my two other senators will be here that day.
I will, but not perhaps on the 15th. So.
So.
No meeting for this.
Yeah.
Okay, so are we we're down to one meeting a week? We only have 5 weeks or four more to go.
Mr. Co-Chair, there's anticipated to be a total of 6 meetings, and so this week will be the first two. You'll have 2 more next week, and then the following week you'll have right now at least one meeting that week, and As you may recall, we might start getting policy bills at that period. So after that, more meetings will need to be scheduled. But right now, we're anticipating a solid 6 meetings. So.
Okay. So if anything can be moved on the Wednesday meeting, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday is fine. Except for so.
I think that we'd like for the help out the legislators and my colleagues and stuff, something that's kind of firm. If we can get that done, it'd be very helpful because of a lot of travel and transportation and other issues and things like that. I know that we are doing some things a little bit different. We are being more, seems to me that we're being more reactive than we're being proactive because of so many turbulent items and stuff are hitting us all of a sudden. So as soon as we can get out, we can get us a long-term schedule, and maybe the big co-chairs might have something to say about that, then that'd be better. It's always good to be able to be predictive than responsive. Want to thank the directors for coming out today with your presentations, and knowing that the jobs that you have are, there are something, sometimes it seems like they're not thankful, or people are not thankful or gratitude for the work you've done, but without you, the work would not get done. So I offer all any assistance that I may have or may take and to help you succeed. But the road is still kind of rough, rocky, and we found ourselves in a ditch, and now trying to pull out. The chains break every now and then, and we just have to reattach them and keep pulling. So to the committee members, it's always great to see you. I look forward to this. I learned from you, and I appreciate you. And I think we're going to call this a wrap for the day.
Good. And as acting chair there for a few minutes, I forgot to thank both directors for their presentation. So thank you.
All right. And we are adjourned.